This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as he is worthy of being praised, as much as he is entitled to be praised. We praise him in our way which is really insufficient. It can never encompass the true level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be praised. And we send blessings, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's through him that we have been given this great faith and this great way to live in this world and to deal with the different challenges of this world. At the beginning of this speech, at the beginning of many speech, when people speak, there's a sunnah khutbah that people generally read, which is wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. I'm sure you've heard this often. Do you know what it means? Do you know why it's read? The purpose behind it. I think it's important to understand that, because at the end of the day, what Ramadan is to tell us, inshallah, this point, this part of the khutbah is that important. When a person begins to speak after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own self. I'm sitting here. Tomorrow you may be sitting somewhere else. And what happens is that when you're sitting in a place like this, then the shaitan wants to come and spoil this action right from the beginning. So if it's spoiled for me as the speaker, then what I say is useless. What I say may sound good if I'm able to speak well, if I can throw in a few poems, if I can give you nice entertaining talk, it might sound very nice. But that's all it is. It'll just stay around, it'll become an entertainment for our ears, and then it will dissipate. So generally, the whole focus of saying, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge from the evil of my own self," so that when I say something, when I'm speaking, then I want to speak for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That intention has to be corrected, because shaitan is everywhere trying to corrupt the intention. وَمِن شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِن سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. And from the evil of the evil of the sins that we commit. Because of the evil of the sins we commit, then again that can prevent the da'wah that's given, the message that is conveyed. So that's really what I'm saying. So inshallah you can say ameen to that. Otherwise this whole exercise is, you know, it's a wasting of our time on a Sunday. Very important time, especially in London, close to Docklands or in Docklands. Are you in Docklands? Yeah. Right? Or are you on an island?
Island?
It's an island. I don't want to say what island, but it's an island. Right? Yeah. Because I mean, this, if they're saying this talk is going to be on YouTube and I say Isle of Dogs, I mean, they're going to wonder, where am I? You know? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Ya Allah. And I know you've probably got a very good reason of why it's called that, right? But that's not what we're talking about right now. Right. Alhamdulillah. It's really nice to be here, mashallah. It's really nice to be here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a fursa sa'ida. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a time of fortune, good fortune for us in this world and the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us together in Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. Somebody told me the other day, they said, we might get in Jannah, you know, by some good deed we've done. Okay, send him to Jannah. By maybe some intercession, if you've got a hafidh in your family, if you're hafidh yourself. In fact, I just heard recently somewhere in India, the one area. Somebody said to someone, you know, make your son Hafiz. He says, no, my other son or somebody in my family is already a Hafiz, and there's only 7 or 8 people so far. So when we got 10 people, then we'll need another Hafiz to take care of the next 10 people. Because they said if you're Hafiz, you can take 10 people into paradise. So somebody mentioned that we'll get into Jannah. But are we going to get into Jannatul Firdaus? How do you get into Jannatul Firdaus? The highest level of Jannah, close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan that's coming up a source of entry into Jannatul Firdaus, and not into just Jannah itself, but Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level. We have to aim high. Muslims are supposed to aim high. So inshallah, that is the ultimate success. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Now let's look at Ramadan. So when Ramadan comes in, the way I look at Ramadan is generally the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before Ramadan even used to begin. In Rajab and Sha'ban, he used to make this dua, as Imam Sahib made as well. He said, oh Allah, bless us in Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach Ramadan. One of the blessings that the blessings in these months for us busy people close to Canary Wharf business, you know, very busy individuals, we have so many things that are outstanding. I mean, if every one of us thinks, is there anyone here who absolutely has to not do anything? Meaning their days are just going perfect. They've got nothing outstanding. No tasks or no chores, no responsibilities that are outstanding. Is there anybody, like, except the retired people, mashallah, who are taking it day to day? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, grant you greater tawfiq. But most of us who are still working, we've got something to fix in the house, some shopping still to do, some projects still to finish, something at work to do, something to do. Something, if we don't do, then it's going to make us busy in Ramadan. So if we read this dua before Ramadan, and we have barakah during these months, then Allah will give us blessing in time so we can get rid of these things quickly, we can fulfill them so in Ramadan we can actually focus on Ramadan. The worst of the people are those, they go into Ramadan, they realize, hey, it's Ramadan. But by the time they get used to it, by the time they get into the rut of it and start benefiting from the mercies that are available, it's already the 10th day. And nowadays, with the contraction of time, Ramadan flies past. The whole year flies past, so Ramadan will fly past. So by the end of it, it's like, man, I didn't do enough. Next year, inshallah. But next year is the same again. So that's why it's very important for us to prepare for Ramadan. Like, actually prepare for Ramadan psychologically. It's like a journey, because we don't know how many more Ramadans we're going to get. And if we just understand, for example, there was this great scholar in the subcontinent whose name was Sheikh Ahmad As-Sarhindi. They consider him to be a mujaddid of the second millennium. Right, the Mujaddid Al-Thani, his name is. Right, he says that from his understanding, the amount of blessings and barakah and rahmah and mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes to descend in the month of Ramadan, in just the moment of Ramadan, is not equivalent to the whole year's mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. It's so concentrated. It is so concentrated that if we waste a moment of Ramadan, it's like we're wasting a whole year outside. From the hadith, let's explain that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person misses a fast in Ramadan, he can fast for the rest of his life and he can't make up for the reward that he would have got for that one day of Ramadan fast. And that's amazing. In the sense that the value of one day is so great that if you fast outside of Ramadan for the rest of your life, that entire accumulated reward is not equivalent to this one day of reward. And we're doing 30 of these days. Right? So that is just truly amazing. That's why don't miss fast of Ramadan for flimsy excuses. Because you're losing a lot of reward. You won't be sinful if you've got a valid excuse, like you're traveling or you're sick or something like that. But don't do it for, you know, don't do it for flimsy excuses. What I would also suggest is that try to avoid these dentist appointments in Ramadan. Try to schedule them afterwards. But if it's important, you've got a major tooth problem, root canal needed or something like that, then what you should do is try to keep the appointment. If you have to have it, try to keep it in the morning sometime. Right? Now, this is a way to get around this. What you do is, if you have to have an appointment where your fast may break, right? So one is that if you know your fast is going to break and you have to have that appointment because it's a major surgery or something like that, then don't fast from the beginning. It's better not to fast than to fast and break it, right? But if you don't know if it's going to break or not, sometimes you go to a dentist and nothing goes down your throat. And sometimes it does. So you don't know, right? If you don't know and you have to have it and you can't reschedule it, then keep the appointment in the morning before half the day. Half the day means between Fajr and Maghrib, half the number of hours. And don't intend a fast yet. Don't eat, but don't intend a fast. Go and have your appointment. If nothing goes down your throat, and it's still before half the day, you can just intend, I'm going to fast for the rest of my day, and your fasting will be valid. Right? Because in the Hanafi madhab, you can fast up to half the day. In the Shafi'is, you can't. You have to fast from the night. You have to intend from the night. For the Hanafis from the subcontinent, that's fine. Yeah, and if something does go down, then your fast did not break because you didn't have one to start with. But this is only if you have to and have to have it. Now, to go back on how to prepare for this month of Ramadan, let's understand what it's for. The whole month of Ramadan, what I see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, He mentions three things. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Right? وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ And وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ So these are three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in relationship to fasting. One is so that you can gain taqwa. So that you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can be grateful. And number three, so that you could تُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ So that you could glorify Allah. Mention and state His greatness on the fact that He gave you guidance. He gave you guidance. That is the greatest of the values that we have. Then the other benefits that He gives us, the other gifts He gives us, the health, the wealth, etc. You're thankful for that. And then for our own self, we gain taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you think is the greatest prevention for our fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about it. Everybody believes we should be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If you're sitting in a masjid, it means you have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You at least have the concept of it and you believe in it. But what is it that still makes us do sin? That still does not prevent our gazes from going right, left and where it should not be going. And our ears and etc. etc. It's because we don't have control of ourselves. Our nafs inside has become so strong and has dominated us that despite the fact that intellectually we know that we shouldn't be doing it, we still cannot help doing it. That is the difficulty, that is the dilemma that we're dealing with. And Ramadan, one of the main reasons, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you can gain taqwa. Because look, right now, if you feel like it, that you want to drink some water, you want to have a drink, or even if you want a chocolate, you can literally walk out, go and buy something. Right? And you can go and have something. What happens in the month of Ramadan is you're going to work, you're going to school, whatever, and you feel like having a cup of tea or a drink. And you go to the vending machine, you go to the coffee machine or whatever, and like, oh, I'm fasting. Now your nafs is telling you, you need a drink. I'm fasting, I can't do it. So you're talking to yourself, you've just suppressed yourself. The second day the same thing happens. No, I can't. My mouth is dry, but I can't. I'm fasting. Well, after 3 or 4 days, you get used to it. Your nafs stops even telling you. It can't bother anymore because it knows that, mashallah, you are not going to break your fast for it. So, eating is fine. Eating is halal, generally speaking. Drinking is halal, generally speaking. But in Ramadan, Allah tells us, do not eat or drink in these days, in these hours of the day. So that if Allah is preventing us, telling us to stop ourselves from eating, drinking and sexual intercourse for this number of hours in the day, He is telling us to stop something that is generally permissible for us, as long as we're doing it permissibly. But in Ramadan, we don't do it. So hopefully the idea is that will also stop us from doing sins. It'll stop us from doing sins. Because if we can prevent ourselves and we're strong enough, no, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink, then we're not going to look around, We're not going to look at the wrong things. We're not going to put it on, you know, we're not going to put the music in our car. We're not going to watch TV. We're not going to do this. We're not going to speak badly to someone. Slow. Those things are more difficult. Because it's not like eating or drinking, which is so blatant, right? So it's supposed to help us like that by curbing the nafs, the self, the soul, by curbing it, controlling it, telling it, slapping it down. No, you can't do this. You can't do this. That's not. Then we're helped in this by the fact that the hadith in Bukhari mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When Ramadan comes, futihat abwab as-sama, or futihat abwab al-jannah, the doors of the heavens, the doors of paradise are opened up. Wa ghulliqat abwab jahannam, the doors of jahannam are closed. And wasulsilat ash-shayatin, and usuffidat ash-shayatin, the shayateen are all locked up." So Allah helps us by telling us to stop eating, drinking, and sleeping, and sexual intercourse. He keeps the shaitan away from us, so there's not going to be extra whispering from the shaitan to make us do it. And I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but it's much easier to do right in Ramadan than it is in any other time of the year. Right? Ramadan goes and suddenly it's just like, oh, you know, the shayateen are back. You can actually feel it. And they're back with a vengeance. There are two times when shaitan is going to attack really heavily. One is just before Ramadan, and one is just after Ramadan. The reason is that shaitan's going to be put away. So he wants to do, he wants to wreak as much havoc, create so much problems before he goes in. And one of the best tools he has is, for example, the moon issue. When Ramadan is about to start. When that happens, people are fighting about it for at least 7-8 days and then it calms down. But he's already messed up the first week or the first 10 days. So normally what people have noticed is that, oh, he gets you into some other kind of dilemma with someone. And you're arguing about something and that just cuts away from the sin. The other time we have to be worried about is at the end of Ramadan. We've done so well for the entire month of Ramadan. And there have been people who've come and they've said, literally, you know, Shaykh, I did so well in Ramadan. I avoided this bad thing I was doing and I avoided this. And I read this much Quran and I made sure I was in the masjid every day. And I fasted every day of the month. And you know, on the afternoon on Eid day, I went back and I messed myself up. Shaitan has just come out. He's going to come and try to just spoil everything that we've done for 30 days. That's why be very careful before the month. Prepare yourself psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. And then after the month, you have to preserve it. One of the wisdoms I see in the sixth fast of Shawwal. You know, there's a sunnah to keep sixth fast of Shawwal. And you get a reward for fasting the entire year, they say, if you fast that. One of the other psychological benefits I see is that you see, once Ramadan finishes, you're no longer fasting. The shaitan is out as well. So suddenly you're like naked in the world. You know, the shaitan can attack us. If we immediately after Eid, if we start fasting the 6 days, then we will become accustomed to living in a world with shaitan after Ramadan has finished, when shaitan wasn't there. But we're still fasting, so it'll still keep on the tradition of Ramadan. We'll still feel we're fasting, so we should still be careful. And if we can survive at least a week or 10 days after the month of Ramadan without spoiling what we have done, then inshallah there's greater hope. There's greater hope. Because what shaitan always tries to do is he tries to make us feel hopeless, despondent. Hey, you've lost everything. It's not worth it. You've lost everything. The days are too long. You've lost everything. But subhanallah. There was one of the great scholars of the subcontinent, Hakim ul-Ummah, Mawlana Shafi'i Thanwi. His analysis of fasting is very interesting. Right? His analysis of Ramadan is very interesting. He said that the whole purpose of Ramadan I see as three things. He says, taqleelu al-ta'am. Taqleelu al-ta'am. Taqleelu al-nawm. And then taqleelu al-ikhtilat. He says there are three things. One is to decrease your food. That's one of the purpose of fasting. Number two, or Ramadan rather. The second one is to decrease your sleep. And number three, to decrease your meeting with people. How does that apply? If in Ramadan we're supposed to eat less, in the sense that there's one less meal that you're supposed to have. Now, of course, if at iftar time we're going to stuff ourselves and do 1.5 meals there, and then one after Taraweeh, you know, half a meal after Taraweeh, and then in Sahri have another whole meal, then we're really wasting our time. And in these days, it's unhealthy as well. Because you've got, like 5-6 hours window to eat in, and you're going to have two meals in that? That's crazy, isn't it? Right? So be very careful of what we eat during this time, because the whole purpose of it is to decrease the food. You know, there's a hadith in which he mentions the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tasahharu fa inna fi suhuri baraka." Make sahri, have that pre-dawn meal, because it provides barakah and blessing. So, when I would mention this, there's a lot of busy people who, what they do is they will eat something after Taraweeh, and then they'll go to sleep and then wake up for Fajr at the last moment, you know, Fajr, end of time, pray Fajr. They won't have sahri, they won't fulfill this sunnah. I know it's sunnah, only sunnah as such, but there's a barakah in it, the Prophet ﷺ said. And then I said, why do you do that? He said, because I can't have a meal at that time. I can't have big biryani at that time. Well, who's telling you to have a biryani at that time? Who's telling you to have food at that time? The Prophet ﷺ said, do suhoor. What is suhoor? Have one date, a glass of water. Who's telling you to have a meal? You know? So the whole purpose is to fulfill the sunnah. What did the Sahaba used to do? You eat a bit, right? You eat a bit and you carry on. Now, one thing I would really suggest, if people are finding it difficult to fast, sometimes it's vitamin deficiency. It's our diet. It's the nutrition problem, right? What I found to be very effective and very beneficial is that if you get a nice, good, expensive, potent multivitamin in the month of Ramadan, it really helps to sustain your day. Because you don't want to fast in the month of Ramadan and you have absolutely no energy to worship. So you're staying hungry, but that's it. You work, you come back and you go to sleep. You wake up, you go and pray, and you're back and you go to sleep again. So you're eating, sleeping and working, and then relaxing as much as possible. You want some vibrancy in the month of Ramadan to make the most use of it. So if you have problems with your diet, contact a dietitian. And I'm sure, you know, some of these older people and older women, they know the best foods to sustain yourself, especially with pregnant women, women feeding their children and so on. It's always a good idea to find this information through dietitians, just so that you can sustain yourself. You have to be practical about it. We have to look at it, because our diets are not very wholesome anymore. A lot of artificial foods are in our diets nowadays, right? And the problem with that is we lose the nutritional level, so our body doesn't have enough and we feel really tired. And at the end of the day, it spoils our month of Ramadan. And it's not. We want to be vibrant in the month of Ramadan so we can take care of it. But the whole point of Ramadan is taqlilu ta'am, to decrease the food. So make sure that it is decreased. Try in Ramadan to go and buy something that is more wholesome, even if it's expensive and eats a little, than to eat lots of junk. Right? If you need to take a Red Bull for Taraweeh, I feel sorry for you. Really. And you know, for those who smoke, this is the best Ramadan for you. Because there's only about 5 hours from the Maghrib to Iftar, to Sahri time. So just avoid it completely. And within 30 days, hopefully, and then after that, you need to keep the strength up to not. And there's people who Ramadan is one of the best times to stop smoking. Right? We're forced into not having for so many hours, so just avoid it. Use something else for that time. Something halal. So, he says, decrease your food. So that's very important. Number two, decrease your sleep. Essentially, in Ramadan, our whole system gets upset. It's all destabilized. Because due to Taraweeh, especially nowadays, you're going to have to sleep later. Right? And you're going to have to wake up for Sahri time and for Fajr and inshallah Tahajjud. So you get less sleep. And if you do make up your sleep, it's in patches. So this instability of the times that we eat and how much we're eating and how much we're sleeping actually helps this nafs. Because when the nafs is in a comfort zone where it gets its food on time and its sleep on time and everything, then there's no challenge to it. But when you upset the system and you put worship in its place and you're doing it for the right reason and spiritually you're connected to Allah, why you're doing it, then that is going to be really effective for us in terms of why we're fasting the month of Ramadan. And then he says, تَقْلِيلُ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ مَعَ الْعَوَامِ, decrease in your meeting with general people. How does that happen in Ramadan? It doesn't happen unless you do i'tikaf. So the whole purpose of the 10 days of i'tikaf is that you only stay in the masjid. Now in the masjid, the only people you're going to meet, you see, in Islam, hermitude is not allowed. We just go away in a cave for a year or something and you don't want to meet anybody. There's no perfection in that. We are social human beings. We're very social creatures. That's how Allah made us, to live among people. That's why the laws of Islam are about dealing with people. He doesn't want us to just go be alone. That's easy. Once you get over the difficulty of the aloneness, right? He wants us to be with the people and still be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the benefit of being 10 days in the month of Ramadan in the masjid, in an i'tikaf, is that we're only going to meet, we're going to meet some people, but it's only going to be people who are believers. The Prophet ﷺ said, anybody who comes to the masjid, then bear witness that he is a believer. So when you're in the masjid, you're going to visit somebody, you might speak to someone, you'll do worship and you'll speak to somebody, but it's only going to be believers, you're not going to be visit anybody else. So you've just had this aloofness, but not to yourself. So shaitan can't attack you anyway. So that's one of the benefits of being alone like that in a month. So it's a destabilizing process for the benefit. Now the other thing is, let's think back to ourselves. Why do we fast? Why in all of these years that we have fasted, why are we fasting? The mashallah, the most amazing thing is that there are people who don't pray five times a day outside the month of Ramadan. But when it comes to Ramadan, they want to fast. Because our community, right, our society thinks it's very, very bad for somebody not to fast. One is, okay, he doesn't pray, that's bad enough. But if he doesn't fast, he's a big fasik. Right? In fact, the other thing that is Taraweeh prayer. People might not pray five times a day outside the month of Ramadan. When he comes to Ramadan, if he doesn't come for Taraweeh, man, this guy is a big fasik. He's a big transgressor. So people come for Taraweeh. Why do we come for Taraweeh? And why are we fasting? Let's ask ourselves that question. Is it because we became habituated to it because we were born in a Muslim household, everybody was fasting, and it was kind of weird not to fast, so we fast as well? Is that why we're fasting? I mean, is that why we fast? Not why we should fast, but is that why we are fasting? Just culturally, out of habit? Or are we fasting just because it's a fard? And we're going to be punished for it. Most people will be for that second reason. Some people will be for the first reason. Most people will be for the second reason, that oh, it's a fard, it's an obligation. But man, it's a lot of hours just for an obligation. It's a lot of hours just for an obligation. The other thing is, okay, Taraweeh. Taraweeh is not even fard. It's a sunnah mu'akkada. Why do you make Taraweeh prayer? Because so people don't say, man, you don't pray, you know, you just go to sleep. Why do we do it? There are two hadith that are sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." And the other hadith is, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." Whoever fasts during the month of Ramadan, for what reason? For iman. He's got this, every time you feel hungry, I'm doing this for Allah. That thought should come in our mind. Not that, man, I can't break it, it's Ramadan, it's going to look bad. Difference, can you see the difference in that? No, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. You're doing it out of love. I want Allah to be happy with me. Imanan, out of iman, for you know, that is the serious, that is your motivation. And ihtisaban. Ihtisab, it means you are hoping, anticipating the reward from Allah. Anticipating Allah's pleasure with you. So we are fasting for the right reason. All it is that if we've been fasting all of these years, this year, let us make our fasting more spiritual by orienting our intention in the correct way. We are fasting because we believe in Allah, and this is what Allah wants, and we want to make Allah happy, and this is the demands of us being His servants. And we hope from him for reward, and that he's going to bless us, he's going to give us Jannatul Firdaus, and he's going to give us happiness, he's going to give us everything we want. If somebody fasts with this intention, connecting himself to Allah through this hunger that he's having, then all of his previous sins are forgiven automatically. That's beautiful. But that is the power of intention, motivation, and just direction. Same with Taraweeh. Whoever stands in the month of Ramadan, we stand. And the problem with us, people from non-Arab countries, is we don't even know what they're reading. They're going to finish the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan. We don't even know what they're reading. Right? So we just want them, by jaldi karo, fast, fast, fast. Why this imam reads so slowly? Get another one. What's wrong with this guy? And you go and tell him, man, don't you know we work all day long? You need to read faster. Right? Not everybody relaxes like you do and just reads Quran all day. Right? So what I'm saying is that we're going to have to stand if we have to stand. Rather than get upset about it and get all irritated about it and agitated about it and go and make complaints and trying to hurry things up when it's not going to happen, you're just going to just relax and enjoy it. Think of this hadith when that happens. When you're standing and it's tiring and you've been working all day and now you're standing and, 20 rakats, subhanallah, right? And you're standing there, just think of this hadith. Just remember this hadith. Whoever stands in the month of Ramadan in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman and with anticipation for the great rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his previous sins are being forgiven. It's a sense of purification. Keep these two hadith in mind whenever you feel hungry, when you start your fast, when you end your fast, and when you are standing in prayer. Just think of that. It is extremely important. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Lis-sa'imi farhatan." For the fasting person, there are two instances of happiness. One is inda fitrihi, when he makes iftar. You know that feeling when you make iftar after a long day? Subhanallah, the pleasure that you get from whatever you eat on that time. Ajib. Allah subhanahu. And you know the other thing is that Ramadan is full of barakat. Think about it in your family. I'm sure you must see this. Don't you see these women who are fasting as well, mashallah? They're able to produce so much food, different types of food every day than they are throughout the whole year, compared to the whole year. Where does that barakah come from? It's ajib. Where does that barakah come from? Right? And take it easy on the mishti. You know, the jalafi. Just take it easy on that. I know my dad has a jalafi shop, Savera, but I'm still telling you, take it easy. Right? So, it's take it easy on the food. But there's barakah in Ramadan. There's barakah in every sense of it. The foods that are able to be produced during the month of Ramadan, and the women, Allah give them reward. I don't know how they do it, but they do this. Subhanallah, they do this. There's so much food. So one is in the fitrihi wa in the liqa'i rabbih. The second one is when he will meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can just think to ourselves how much pleasure we get out of doing iftar after a long day of fast, can you imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that same kind of pleasure in the hereafter when we meet with him, how great that will be? If we can get that same pleasure that we have at iftar time, and Allah gives it when we meet with him, that will be so great. That's why there's a dua for that. Oh Allah, there's a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, make the best of my days the day that I meet you. If you think the best of your days is the day you bought your house, the day you got married, the day we got our first child, the day we got our degree, the day we got our job or a promotion or this much money or whatever it is. No. Make the best of my day the day that I meet you, oh Allah. Then everything else can be good, but that will be the best. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that from us. And I don't want to take us too much time. These are basic things that we hear all the time. This is just a sense of reminder for myself and for everybody else. The other thing that I'd like to say is that on a practical note, we've learned how to deal with our fast, pangs of hunger, right? To connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kam min sa'imin." There are so many people who fast, but they have nothing from their staying hungry except hunger. They don't get anything. And there are so many people who stay awake at night, but they get nothing out of staying awake at night except sleeplessness. So we need to fill it with something. And we don't want our fast to be like that. Essentially, it's like you're sitting in the car, and on one, your one foot, is on the accelerator and your one foot is on the brake and you're giving the gas and you're wasting the petrol, but you're not going anywhere because the brake is on. Right? We don't want that to happen in Ramadan. The barakat are coming, the blessings are there. But so we've got the AC on, we've got the air conditioning on, but we've left the windows open. We've left the door open. What's the point? So we have to avoid sins. Now, we have to think to ourselves, what is the major sin that we commit? What is it that is our biggest challenge, ourselves? Everybody's individually has, whatever challenge. If it's, I think one of the biggest challenges that we live in cities like this in the West is just what you look at and what you see. That is, I think, one of our biggest challenges. Because everything else, okay, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to keep the TV off, I'm going to do this off. But you go outside and you have to go outside. You can't stay in the masjid all month. I mean, if you can, it's great. You look up, you look down, you look left, you look right, wherever you are. One person, he said, he went somewhere on the tube and he says, we're looking up, we can't look up, look down, you can't look down. I mean, where do you look? Newspaper. Newspaper is still newspaper. He said it was so tough. Right? So, Wallahu A'lam. One of my friends, he says that he goes to the supermarket in the middle of the night, 24-hour supermarkets, because there's less people there that you have to worry about. But in the month of Ramadan, we need to, for ourselves, however we can, just to decrease, to let more of the goodness in. And you know the benefit of that is, you might think, well, after Ramadan it's going to be the same thing. Allah has put within us, if we work hard enough, a resistance against these things. But this resistance has to first build up. And Ramadan is the time to build that resistance up. So for many months in Ramadan, depending on how much effort that we have placed in the month of Ramadan, that is how many months it will benefit us for. A person about 2 years ago, he observed something. He said that year in Ramadan, he did a lot of good deeds. He really made a lot of dua. He did a lot of reading, he was very careful, and he made lots and lots of dua. And you know what he said? He said it benefited him personally, for 7 months. There were sins that he was habituated to before that. For 7 months after Ramadan, he didn't even think about them. He didn't even have the urge to go. And after 7 months, he noticed that it got worn out, and then he started getting back into them. So if we essentially, if we work very hard in the month of Ramadan, hard enough to strengthen ourselves for the next 11 months, then the next Ramadan comes up, then we're great, right? And this person, he said, I felt the difference with the other years that this month for 7 months, and he counted it, he said, SubhanAllah, I remember then committing the sin that I hadn't done for 7 months, right? And subhanAllah, so Ramadan is that time when you can fortify ourselves. It's very important. That is one of the benefits. We just can't waste a moment of that time. That's why I get a lot of our activities out so that we can focus on it. And I think finally, we want to do a few things in the month of Ramadan. We want to do lots of Quran reading, because Quran reading is extremely beneficial in the month of Ramadan. Now, to make that Quran reading even more powerful for us than just reading, especially us who don't understand Arabic, for non-Arabs, is we read, but we also spend some time with a translation or a commentary. And we read, and we understand, and we reflect over what Allah is telling us. That has such an impact on us. If we can read a translation or get some CDs or tapes of the Quran tafsir or translation, whatever language you're used to, and we can, the part that is going to be recited in Taraweeh that night, if we can just try to get a gist of the main message of those surahs and that part of the Quran, then it will benefit us even when we're listening to it. Although we won't understand every word, but we'll understand the gist of what's being read, and it will help us. And it will help us in the long term as well. And then the other thing is, so let's just say you're spending 1 hour in reading every day. Most people spend more than that, but it's just as an example. If you're spending, let's just say the 1 hour, out of that, 50% of the time do reading, tilawat, just reading. 25% of the time, memorize something by heart. If you've memorized something when you were young and you've forgotten it, let us use this time to memorize that. You'll get more reward than just reading. Why? Because let's just say you're trying to memorize Surah Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an. You get 10 rewards for every letter. Right? Ar-Rahman. you get 50 rewards for that. Allama al-Qur'an. Now you could read one juz of the Qur'an or one whole surah of the Qur'an and get reward, but you read it slowly because that's how you read. But if you're trying to memorize Surah Ar-Rahman, for example, you're saying Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an, Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an, you'll get faster and faster. You'll read it more often, and each time you read it, you get that same amount of reward. And it gets in your, it's preserved. So now, even when you're traveling in your car, you're going somewhere on the underground or wherever it is, now you can actually start reciting for yourself. If you stand up in tahajjud, you can read more than Qul huwallahu ahad and Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. You got more Quran. In the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, read and ascend. So the more Quran you know, the higher you can get in Jannah. And so you get more reward in trying to memorize. Okay, you might not be able to finish the entire Quran like that because you know most people are not going to memorize the whole Quran there. But it just seems like a better deal. So spend some time reading, but spend some time memorizing something. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you don't know Surah Yasin, Tabarak, Sajda, Surah Sajda, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, right? Surah Al-Kahf. These are things we want to know. There's a benefit. The Prophet ﷺ said, anybody who recites Surah Al-Mulk, Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk, every night, it will be an advocate for him in the hereafter. Literally, there's a hadith which mentions that as soon as the angel comes to ask questions to this person, the angel will come and say, what are you doing? Sorry, the Suratul Mulk, Tabarak, will come and start a discussion with the angel and say, he used to read me every day. The angel will get frightened and say, look, I've come to do my task. If you've got any issues, go and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the best barrister you can get in town. Literally. It will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, so and so used to read me every day, you want to punish him, right? This is Allah's words talking to Allah, right? Because Surah Al-Mulk is the words of Allah. So Allah will say, well, what? He said, well, if you want to punish him, then take me out of the Quran. Surah Al-Mulk, bold. I mean, you can't have any more bold. Who can speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, take me out of the Quran. Famhuni, you know, like take me out of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no. So it will preserve the person. Now you might think, well, okay, I'll do all the bad in my life, but I'll just read Surah Al-Mulk every night. You won't. It doesn't work that way. You don't get the tawfiq. Tawfiq means Allah gives this divine ability only to those who deserve it. So if it's so easy, I'll read Surah Al-Mulk every night, and I'll do everything else wrong in the day. It's just not going to work. You just forget, you just can't remember. Even though it's so simple, Tabarakalladhi, once you know it by heart, it takes about 5 minutes to read, if even that, 3 minutes, 4 minutes to read, right? But it's a matter of tawfiq. It's a matter of tawfiq. But Ramadan's a time to just get it all together. And then the other 15 minutes, the other 25% of the time, a translation or a commentary, and just focus on it, right? So that was about the Quran. And finally, one of the greatest secrets of people who will go into Jannatul Firdaus is that they do tahajjud prayer. Because tahajjud prayer is the prayer that is done when other people are sleeping. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. In fact, this one Sahabi did something for Rasulullah ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ said to him, ask a question. Ask for whatever you want. He said, أَسْأَلُ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I want your companionship in Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Something else. Is there something else you want? Is that really you want this? It's a big thing. So he said, yeah, that is what I want. He said, okay, fine, help me then. Assist me in getting you to this position by doing extra rak'ats, extra ruku, extra sujood. Help me. Right? Now, tahajjud is the secret of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, during the year, we don't get the opportunity, but in Ramadan, the women as well who are listening, and the men, we're waking up for Sahri time, which is before Fajr, which is the Tahajjud time. And just be very disciplined in this regard. If it takes you 10 minutes to eat, right? 10 minutes to eat, 5 minutes to go and do wudu and prepare, and 10 minutes to eat, and then after that you're going to focus on Fajr, just get up 15 minutes before that. All you're doing, I mean, it's so easy. 5 minutes for wudu, 5 minutes, 2 rakats or 4 rakats of tahajjud. If you don't know many surahs, you read 4 rakats, you know, short. 2 rakats, longer ones. All I'm asking is, let's say that this year, we want to make sure every single day of this month, we're going to make at least 2 rakats of tahajjud, if not 4. 2 rakats of tahajjud, 4 rakats of tahajjud takes about 5 minutes. 3-4 minutes of dua, you got the deal. Then go and eat. Or eat first, and then do this. Half an hour, eating. Anyway, yes, if you take half an hour for eating, then you need to add 15 minutes extra for this. But I'm just saying that all this takes is 10 to 15 minutes extra. But from now, say, I want to do this. I'm not going to miss a single day, but I'm going to do it. Even if I wake up late one day, I'm going to make that 2 rakats. I'll do my dua when I'm eating, but I'm going to do my 2 rakats. Right? The women as well, they do the same thing. And that way, if we can for 30 days do 2 rakats extra, 4 rakats of tahajjud, and the dua that we make after that for ourselves and our families and everybody else, it will go a very, very long way. It will go a very, very long way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us barakah in these remaining days so that we can psychologically prepare. We can get many chores out of the way. And Allah give us barakah in these days so that things just happen very quickly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best of this month of Ramadan, right from the beginning, the mercy, the forgiveness, the freedom from the hellfire. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a place in Jannatul Firdaus and make us worthy of that position by making us really enjoy this month of Ramadan, and by increasing us in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increasing our taqwa, giving us the ability to be grateful to Him for all the bounties that He has given us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us many, many better Ramadan, and make every Ramadan better than the previous one. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.